Burns and Gambo, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
This is the Suns Front Office Show.
Every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, we have the opportunity to talk with one of the front office members for the Phoenix Suns. They're actually in the middle of their final preseason game of the year right now. The first for Devin Booker, by the way, who's up to 17 points in 16 minutes. So welcome back, Devin Booker. Thank you for playing. The Suns' regular season opener is 1 week from tonight, nationally televised tilt against the Denver Nuggets. Then they've got the LA Lakers 2 days after that, so it's hard to believe it's already go time on this season for the Phoenix Suns, but it is that. We are scheduled to be joined by Robert Sarver. We're anticipating that he's going to be calling any minute, but every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, Gambo, we'll get a chance to talk with James Jones, Jason Rowley. Sometimes it'll be Robert, just about kind of the inner workings of what's going on with the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're going to be very guarded with the discussions right now between DeAndre and Mikal, and we are running out of time. The deadline is, you said, it's the 18th, so we're down to about 5 days to get something done. The talks are ongoing. The last I was told that the talks continue to go ongoing, and they'll try to get a deal done right up until the deadline. If the deadline doesn't come, and obviously they can't do anything until the season ends.
Yeah, if the deadline comes and passes and there's no rookie extension for either DeAndre Ayton or Mikal Bridges, then you're looking at a situation where both of those guys could go into next season as restricted free agents. So that'll be something, obviously, to keep an eye on with that deadline coming up on October 18th. And then, as I mentioned, not only the season opener for the Suns a week from tonight, but tonight also game two between the Mercury and the Chicago Sky in the WNBA Finals. That will also be at Footprint Center. So we've got that game to keep an eye on tonight as well. So we got him. Thumbs up. Good deal. Joined right now on the Arizona Sports Line by the owner of the Phoenix Suns, Robert Sarver, who joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Robert, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today, especially in the middle of one of your preseason games. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we got a doubleheader today.
Yeah, another doubleheader. I know everybody's excited for the season, especially after what you guys did last year, but there is this the lingering, you know, contract negotiations that are ongoing right now with Mikal and DeAndre. And DeAndre did speak yesterday and said he was disappointed with how things have gone so far. Can you give us an update? Do you feel confident that a deal will get done with DeAndre and Mikal?
Well, I can't blame you for asking, but, you know, as you know, we never negotiate or discuss personnel issues publicly. It's just not fair to the players. It wouldn't be fair to James or to our fans. So I'm going to pass on that one.
You did meet with DeAndre Ayton last night, right? Correct? Just you and him?
I said I'm not going to discuss publicly our discussions.
Okay. Can you tell us at least if talks are ongoing or have they stalled?
I think James continues to speak to his agent.
Okay. And I mean, I would imagine, I mean, this is a fair question. I mean, I would imagine you do want to get something done, correct?
Yeah, I mean, if we can get something that works for both sides, we definitely would. And, you know, as you know, in restricted free agency, sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, getting a deal done a year early is a little more challenging than getting a deal done at the beginning of a season.
Yeah, I certainly we understand your unwillingness to discuss this, given that negotiations are ongoing, and we do appreciate you joining us in the middle of all this. I would like to ask you, if I could, about DeAndre's comments at the beginning of the week about being disappointed that something hasn't gotten done. Are you worried, with all of this positive flow that you guys have going on as an organization right now, that if something doesn't get done, that it might even temporarily kind of interrupt that flow that you guys have had going on since how last year ended?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for DeAndre, but I think he made his goals clear at Media Day in terms of what he wanted to try to accomplish this year, and he's had direct communications with our organization, you know, recently, and he's all in, and I'm not concerned about that.
All right. The last time we spoke with you was right before free agency was about to start, and you had at that time expressed a real confidence, at least the vibe I got, real confidence that something was going to get done with Chris Paul, and it did. Just a couple days after we spoke with you, it got done. Do you have a similar level of confidence about this, something with DeAndre getting done before the deadline comes in 5 days?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about the expectations. You guys made it to the NBA Finals last year. Ticket sales are through the roof. Everybody's excited about this team getting back to the NBA championship. You were able to keep the core of the team intact. How important was that to you?
Yeah, very much. I mean, we got 11 players returning. I believe our players, from what I've seen, seem to be charged up and healthy as they can be. And I don't think they could be any more ready. We all got a taste of the finals last season and came way unsatisfied. Our goal is to try to win it all, and I think we'll compete at a high level this year again.
How did you guys approach the offseason? It was a shorter offseason for your team and Milwaukee than anybody else. Less time to rest, less time to recover. How active was the training staff in making sure that these players got the proper rest that they needed to get ready for what's going to be a full 82-game season?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think our training staff, along with some of our analytics folks and, you know, all the new technology we have at the Verizon Performance Center, along with the coaches, mapped out individual plans for each person, you know, based on the load they carried. You know, for example, Devin, you know, going to the Olympics and having even a shorter off season, along with JaVale. So we really took an individual approach to each player and tried to use the advantage of, you know, all the technology we have and health science that we've invested in over the last 5 years to put a plan in place for each person to give them the best opportunity to, you know, get their recovery and be prepared for the season.
Robert Sarver, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show, we had talked to you right about the time the Olympics were about to get underway or they had just gotten underway. Devin Booker as a gold medal winner, the role that he played in that, not to discount what JaVale did, but Devin Booker starting and playing the role that he did. Share with us what you can, what sort of conversations you might have had with Devin about that experience and the role that he played in that experience for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was very excited to sign up to play, even though we did obviously, play well into July. He's a hooper and he's a competitor. And, you know, he said he viewed it as a real privilege and honor to represent his country. And he liked the interaction with the other players, you know, on the team, and just another chance for him to work on his game and different things on his game. And, you know, he told me he had a great experience.
There was a story that I don't think we brought it up on the show yesterday, but I know it has been talked about on our station. The kind of continuity factor of the Phoenix Suns in 2021, 2022, how no team brought more players back. And yet you guys did add some key pieces. You mentioned JaVale, Landry Shamet as well. How bullish are you on the new players that you added to the mix and yet still bringing most of your core back the way you did?
Well, we said at the outset that, you know, bringing our core back was important. And it started with Chris Paul and campaign. And so we wanted to, you know, solidify that at the point guard position. And then, you know, we were fortunate. We were able to bring in Alfred Payton, who started a number of games last year and has played with some of our folks. And we're fortunate we have him. He's playing tonight, obviously, with Chris sitting. And then, you know, adding Landry and JaVale, who both have a lot of experience. Landry playing in Monty's system with Monty in Philly. And I think you've seen in the preseason so far that both players, because of their basketball IQ, have fit in, you know, pretty seamlessly to how we've been playing. And, you know, they're both very excited to be here. And I think they'll be good additions for different reasons, but I think they'll both be real good additions.
What's the key that you guys have had in bringing in the right players, players who accept their role, and if they have to sit for five games and then play, they're okay with that. They'll do whatever it takes. Because in the past, as you know, there's been players that have come here that just for the money, or they've come here without the willingness to fit in and be a team player. But it did seem like last year, everybody was cheering for each other. Those guys are up. They were I mean, you had such great team chemistry. I'm sure there was something to making sure that when you do sign a player, that you're signing the right player.
Yeah, I think there's a part of that is definitely important. You know, sometimes players with a little more experience and a little more maturity tend to see things a little bit differently. And so, you know, they're a little more receptive versus younger players who are trying to carve out their identity and their role. I think part of it is that Monty and James are pretty clear and upfront with people we talk to about signing with our team as to what their role, what the coach envisions their role to be and their responsibilities. And so they try to be real upfront with people on the front end, which always helps. And then winning helps, you know. People always say chemistry. Does the chemistry come first and then the winning, or does the winning help with the chemistry? You know, I think it works both ways, to be honest with you.
Robert Sarver, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, the season opener for the Suns 1 week from tonight when they take on the Denver Nuggets. But also tonight, you mentioned the doubleheader down there at Footprint Center. Suns preseason going on right now, but then the Mercury, of course, game two of the WNBA Finals. I've only lived here in Phoenix, so I can't speak to what it's like in other markets. But from your perspective, the synergy between these two organizations, their players, and how well they support each other, what from your perspective, what has that been like to kind of take in over the years, Robert?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll just start with tonight with the Suns, you know, making the sacrifice to play early and allow the Mercury to play their game in prime time. You'll see a lot of our players there rooting on the team after the game, and you're also going to see a lot of Trailblazer players there. They postponed their trip back to Portland right after the game so they could stay and watch the game. So kudos to them for supporting the WNBA and in the players, but you know, they share the same training facility and they share the same weightlifting room, and you know, a number of the physio people help each other, and so you know, it's one big family, and I think there's a lot of respect on both sides, and our players from both teams have, you know, built relationships with each other, and they root for each other, and for me, it's really great to see.
You were on with us 3 months ago, and I'll end with this. And you said that you know that paying the luxury tax is coming with the hopes of winning a championship. And I think you thanked for the fans and the city and everything for getting the arena done, helping to get the arena done. And you talked about your practice facility. Has anything changed on that front? Or do you still expect that, hey, this is going to be a team that to win a championship is going to have to pay the luxury tax?
Well, I won't necessarily speak for the league as a whole in terms of having to pay a luxury tax to win a championship, but in terms of our roster, the way we're configured and the way our contracts are lined up, we will be paying the luxury tax next year.
All right. Robert, we appreciate your time. Thank you very much for the conversation, and we'll talk with you soon.
Okay, good. Hope to see you guys tonight, too.
All right, thanks, Robert.
Thanks, Robert. We appreciate it.
We'll see you at the opener.
Robert Sarver joining us here on the Arizona Sports Line on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. When we come back, well, we were talking about it for the better part of the last day or so. We will talk about our conversation with Robert and what he had to say about the state of things with DeAndre Ayton. That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Back here on the Burns and Gambo Show, we're live from the Auction Community Studios. Our conversation with Robert Sarver, and again,
we ain't talking about love, Burnsy. We ain't talking about love. That's Earl Watson. This is Earl Watson's song.
It's it. Is it now?
We're talking about love.
Well,
can't believe Eddie Van Halen's gone, man. Ugh.
I know what else we ain't talking about. We ain't talking about DeAndre Ayton's contract extension. And it wasn't for a lack of trying either.
Like, ooh, pulling teeth. I mean, listen, we
tried.
I respect him not wanting to negotiate on our show. I respect that. I do. I respect that he does not want to negotiate. We have to ask the questions.
Yes, we do.
And you know, we have to ask. And there's no we don't play that game with anybody that comes on the show. We never have. We never will. Well, you can't ask me about this. You can't ask. Well, then don't come on. That's our answer. If anybody's ever said, well, he'll come on, but you can't ask him about it, then don't come on. Because if we can't ask you about it, you're not coming on the show. So there was no, you know, I mean, I think Robert expected it and knew it, but he obviously said, he said a couple of things, and we did get a few things out of him. But the reality is, he doesn't want to negotiate in the media and talk about where they are with the contract. And I mean, I have to respect that they want to kind of keep their contract discussions private.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I echo everything you said. I wasn't expecting Robert to say a lot about it today. I really wasn't, because the deadline is coming up, and I just didn't. You know, there's he doesn't want anything he's going to say to be misconstrued by either side, and I just didn't expect he was going to be very talkative about it today. He made it pretty clear from the outset that there wouldn't be an update given on it today.
I can't blame you for asking, but you know, as you know, we never negotiate or discuss personnel issues publicly. It's just not fair to the players. Wouldn't be fair to James or to our fans.
We both saw it. There was a report on TMZ with photos included of Robert and DeAndre Ayton meeting on Monday night. You asked him directly about that. Looked like they had dinner and some water together on Monday night. You asked him about that report.
I said I'm not going to discuss publicly our discussions.
But he did kind of
just try and find different ways to ask the questions, man. You just got to continue to try to find different ways to ask the question.
And he did give us a little in regards to, do you want to get a deal done with DeAndre Ayton?
Yeah, I mean, if we can get something that works for both sides, we definitely would. And, you know, as you know, in restricted free agency, sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, getting a deal done a year early is a little more challenging than getting a deal done at the beginning of a season.
And I liked what you asked him at the end. It was on my list to ask him as well. On the comments he made to us, it was the end of July, right when the season ended, about the willingness to become a luxury tax payer. And here's what he had to say. And at the time, he said, I understand that's the way business is done, and if that's what we have to do, that's what we'll do, or words to that effect. You asked him about that again today.
I won't necessarily speak for the league as a whole in terms of having to pay a luxury tax to win a championship, but in terms of our roster, the way we're configured, and the way our contracts are lined up, we will be paying the luxury tax next year.
Okay. I mean, they will be paying the luxury tax. So, you know, they got Chris Paul. I got Devin Booker. They've got two max contracts. Could possibly add a third here with DeAndre if it happens. And they're going to end up being luxury. Now, they paid the luxury tax before. They're not afraid to pay it again. But we did have Sarver on the show 3 months ago, and that was a big question at that time. And he was very willing at that time to pay the luxury tax. And he admitted that he's going to have to pay it again as soon as next year.
He did. And so that's where we stand now. The deadline is coming up on October 18th, 5 days from right now. That's when, if it doesn't get done, then it can't get done at any point during the season. It means that going into next year, this time a year from now, DeAndre Ayton, and if nothing gets done with Mikal Bridges, let's not forget about him because he's a very important part to all of this too. Both of those guys could potentially be going into restricted free agency where, hypothetically, some team could go in and make them a big-time offer that the Suns would absolutely have the right to match if they wanted to. But then things get a little tricky about, you know, matching the offer, and is that offer kind of loaded in a way that doesn't benefit the Suns, at least in terms of their salary structure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It'd be easier, simpler for everybody to get something done now, so it removes the element of distraction. But if something is going to get done, it has to get done by October 18th. We're 5 days away from that happening. And the TMZ report, I just want to circle back to that to a second because you asked him about that. I'm looking at the pictures right now. DeAndre Ayton, Robert Sarver, I believe it's being reported they were at Sanctuary at Camelback Mountain Resort on Monday. Having a conversation. Of course, we don't know the details about that conversation, but there is a face-to-face meeting that happened with them on Monday night. Whether that leads to anything, we don't know. That's kind of where things stand right now when it comes to the Suns and DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, no, I would imagine. Listen, it's very safe to say that the Suns have not offered DeAndre Ayton a max contract to this point because it would have been accepted and this would be done. So what Robert did say is a deal that works for both sides. So is he saying that a max deal doesn't work? It works for DeAndre, but it may not work for them right now. Now, maybe they want DeAndre to prove himself, and that's, you know what, there's nothing wrong with that either. I mean, as we could all say what we think, right? Oh, we think he's a max player. We don't think he's a max player. You know, if they feel like, hey, you know, he only did it for 20 games in the playoffs. When the season ended, he wasn't a max player, but he did play well in the playoffs, and excel, but we want to see it over a longer period of time. And if he does that, then we'll gladly pay him the max. And maybe that's what it's about. Listen, I mean, here's the deal. You could take this deal now. It's not a max deal. We could give this to you now, but if you want a max, we want to see you do it over a full season. And then we'll gladly give you the max. I imagine that it's something like that. We could offer you this right now based on where you are 3 years into your career. This is what we'd be willing to offer you. But if you're insistent on a max, we kind of need to see more. And if you do play extremely well over season, we'd be willing to pay you that.
Yeah, that's a really, I don't know if you've ever really phrased it that way before, but that is a really interesting way of thinking of it and looking at it. All right, you believe you're worth the max. We don't, and I'm not saying this is what's going on, but I really do like the way you put that. But if you really are insistent that that's what you want, let's see it one more year before we make that level of financial commitment to you.
I mean, and listen, if they come out and say that, I mean, it's going to be like, oh, they don't want to give him the max. No, and maybe they're very perfectly willing to pay him the max, but they just want to be sure. They just kind of want to be sure that, you know, that he's a max player before that. Because that's, listen, it's a lot of money. There's no doubt about it. Again, we could all discuss, hey, what we think he's worth, and many of us believe he's a max player, and some don't, but they may want to pay him that if he proves it one more time.
Join Four Peaks for a Red Sea Road Rally this Sunday at Five Star Dive Bar on Baseline and McClintock in Tempe. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they'll be there for food specials, football prizes throughout the event. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com. for more details on this event coming up on Sunday. He was brought to Cleveland to provide the Browns with a big, big play receiving threat. The reality of Odell Beckham Jr. is that he's been a failure in Cleveland. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, John Gambador, Dave Burns, live from the Oxygen Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. When you're talking about the Cleveland Browns, we've already spent a lot of time talking about their rushing attack with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. It's elite. It's the best in the NFL. But as usual, quarterbacks get a ton of attention, and Baker Mayfield's getting a bunch of attention, which means the guys that he's throwing to are going to get a bunch of attention. Now, Jarvis Landry, he is eligible to come back this week, but there's been no indication out of Cleveland that he is going to be activated off of the IR. So the impression that a lot of the Cleveland reporters are getting is that it just might not be the week for Jarvis Landry, which then leads us to a conversation about Odell Beckham Jr., who threw it so
he's
far.
He's still in the league?
He is.
I remember. He used to play for the Giants.
Yeah, with the Giants.
He's really good.
He had 1,300 yards, 1,400 yards, 1,367. Yeah.
Wow.
Over 1,000 yards again in 2018.
And now he sucks.
His first year in Cleveland, he had over 1,000 yards receiving, 74 catches, 4 touchdowns. He has been the invisible receiver since 2019, virtually non-existent.
They had 531 yards of offense in that loss to the Chargers. He had 20 of them. He had 20 yards out of their 531. I mean, he's just not the same player that he used to be. First of all, they're a very run-oriented team. And then they've got Higgins, and they got Njoku, and they got Austin Hooper. And you're looking at a guy, and you got Jarvis Landry. Right, you got Jarvis Landry as well. So then you look at Odell Beckham Jr. and you say, "Man, he just hasn't been what he was with the Giants." So now there's talk: do you trade him? Do you try to get something for him? I mean, they gave up 2 starters, a first round pick, a third round pick, to get him. I mean, to make that trade. There's no guaranteed money on his contract beyond this season. He's not old. But he's just not, you know, he's had a couple of injuries, and he's just not that player anymore that could dominate a football game. And so that trade, I mean, in some ways, that trade has kind of backfired on Cleveland.
You know, just you saying he's not old, it triggered.
He's not.
He's not. I looked at, he's 28 years old. All right, he's about to turn 29 in less than a month.
Who's older, him or D-Hop?
D-Hop. D-Hop's older. D-Hop turns, I think, 30 in June. Odell Beckham Jr. turns 29 in a month. And so you like he's become so invisible, so much of a non-factor, you almost think to yourself, oh, he must be getting old. No, he's not. He's not even 29 years old. He should be going into the prime of his career. This should be the very best of Odell Beckham Jr. And instead, he got 3 targets last week on a team that doesn't have Jarvis Landry right now. on a team that's missing a five-time Pro Bowl wide receiver in Jarvis Landry, you would think that this would be, especially after missing all of last year with that knee injury, you think they'd be thrilled to have him back and get the ball in his hands. And instead, he got three targets last week in a shootout against the LA Chargers.
So he's played 26 games with Cleveland, and he's only got two 100-yard games, and they were both in 2019. And he had a lot of targets that year. He had 133 targets, third most of his career. Bottom line is, he's not very good. He's just not that good of a player. He drops balls and can't get by anybody anymore, and it's just not working in Cleveland. So, yeah, you think, oh, you got to go up against – we got to go up against Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah, so what? So what? No big deal. I mean, you can put anybody on. Put Robert Alford on him. You don't look at this the way you did that first week when you were going up against Tennessee and you had Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. You know, you don't look at it like when you're going up against the Rams and you have to deal with Cooper Kupp or you know, even Debo with San Francisco. When, you know, the Minnesota with Thielen and Jefferson. When you look at Cleveland, you're very much concerned about their running game, but you're not really concerned about Odell Beckham Jr. because Odell Beckham Jr. just hasn't been good for a long time now.
Yeah, there's a chemistry issue here, and you wonder how much of that is playing into this, and you just wonder how much of a chemistry he has with Baker Mayfield. I mean, we've seen DeAndre Hopkins develop a chemistry with Kyler Murray. Certainly we've seen, you mentioned Justin Jefferson, developing a chemistry with Kirk Cousins. We could go on and on about, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo and Debo Samuel and the chemistry that there. It's been 2 years, and I know there's been a major injury kind of interrupting all of this, and maybe that's part of the factor, but there's been no chemistry between him and Baker Mayfield at all, and I think that's why you're getting a lot of trade conversation. Should they trade him? Should they look to move him? Is there a team who might look at Odell Beckham Jr. and think, okay, if we liberate him from there, if we get him out of Cleveland because he doesn't like being there, then maybe we can get the very best of him. Kevin Stefanski was asked today if OBJ needs more than three targets. Here's what he said.
I kind of look at each game and what do we have to do to win? You know, what do we need to do to go score a bunch of points? As I've mentioned before, he's a dynamic football player. He's very front of mind when we're game planning, when we're calling plays. Sometimes the defense dictates that the ball goes elsewhere. And we're comfortable with that because we have good players elsewhere.
Pro Football Talk wrote about this. With 3 weeks and 1 day to go before the trade deadline, it makes sense to be watching and waiting for a suitor to emerge, especially if a contender with a great quarterback loses a key receiver to injury. For the Browns, anything they'd get for Odell Beckham would be more than what they're currently getting from him right now.
You know, usually when you see a great receiver, and he was a great receiver, go somewhere else, most of the time, like, they're still really good. I mean, like D-Hop getting traded here. Remember Terrell Owens? He was so great for the 49ers. Then he went to Philly, he was great. Then he went to Dallas, he was great. You know, even when he ended his career those last couple of years, he was still, like, really good in Buffalo. So, like, you know, we're used to seeing a lot of receivers go elsewhere and still be great. Jerry Rice, right? But it didn't work out that way for Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, he was great with the Giants, and he's been garbage for the most part, since he got over to Cleveland.
I'm even thinking of a guy like Stephon Diggs when he went to Buffalo, right? He was great when he went to Buffalo. So, yeah, there have been opportunities like that. Now, I mentioned Jarvis Landry, and I want to circle back to this. He was not officially designated to return from the IR today. He could have been, but he wasn't. The Cardinals themselves designated two players to return from IR today in Jordan Phillips and Josh Myles. So what he did do was run on the side during practice. There is a belief coming out of Cleveland that this would seemingly make Jarvis Landry's chances of returning this weekend slim. I got some quotes here from Jarvis Landry in which he says, you know, maybe we'll see, you know, I'll be back soon, just not exactly sure when, kind of paraphrasing some of the things that he had to say. He is still very bullish on when he comes back. And now that Odell Beckham Jr. is back, what they can do offensively. But I don't know if the Cardinals are going to have to deal with Jarvis Landry this weekend either. We'll see. It's still early in the week. But as of right now, he has not been designated for a return off of IR. So it can't happen as of right now.
Yeah. I mean, he's hinted about returning soon. But he's also said, you know, he's going to be smart about it. I mean, he's going to be really, really smart about it. He's day-to-day right now. He was out for the – he got hurt in week two. He's a real dynamic player, but I would think if he didn't practice today and he's just kind of jogging, they're not gonna risk that because it's a knee injury. They're probably not gonna risk him coming back.
Yeah, I'll just tell you right now. Back on the topic of Odell Beckham Jr., I just looked at my Twitter account for a second.
Yeah,
Mary Kay Cabot, who has covered the Cleveland Browns for many, many, many years, she's well known in NFL circles, just tweeted out 3 minutes ago: the Browns should try to trade Odell Beckham Jr. before the November 2nd deadline. And then she wrote a whole column about it. So this is a huge story in Cleveland about Odell Beckham Jr., whether he should be
on
that
team. He's got no guaranteed money after this year.
Yeah.
So if you trade for him, you could trade for him as a rental and not have to pay him anything next year because there's no guaranteed money left on his contract. I would think it's highly likely he gets traded.
When we come back, the Arizona Cardinals, the only remaining undefeated team in the NFL. They already have a 3-0 record on the road, and yet the quote-unquote experts are almost all, picking a Cardinals loss this weekend. Why is that? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Back here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Gambo, I don't know about you. I kind of had a feeling this is going to happen.
I got a feeling.
Got a feeling.
Tonight's going to... Well, you had a feeling what was going to happen?
I had a feeling that they do this every Wednesday at ESPN.com. Week 6, upset picks, buzz, and notes around the league. And it's two guys. It's Jeremy Fowler and it's Dan Graziano, two of the NFL writers at ESPN.com. And the question that, and it's every single week they do this: what's your top upset pick for week 6? Now, maybe the picture of Kyler Murray was a dead giveaway when I clicked on the link, but I clicked on the link and I just knew it was going to be, and sure enough, Jeremy Fowler, Cardinals over the Browns. So he's got the Cardinals beating the Browns.
Wow.
But he's the only one, The Athletic, it's almost like all across the board, the Browns being picked, even Pete Prisco, who loves talking good things about the Arizona Cardinals, says the Browns are going to win 28-23.
All right, I'm going to take the Jaguars this week as my upset.
Really?
Yep.
In London?
Sure, what the hell? Why not? Miami's terrible. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at all the games right now. I'm like, okay, I'll pick one. I'll have some fun. I'll pick one.
You're going to pick the Jags?
I'll take the Jags.
As the big upset? That would be, there are some people
just
who
hope
think,
that Urban Meyer gets on the plane back to London.
I was just going to say.
From London.
There are some people who wonder whether Urban Meyer is going to get on that plane flying back from Jacksonville. Like if they lose this game, because didn't we decide there were two coaches in the history of the NFL in these London games that got fired after they lost in London?
Yes.
And it was it was Joe Philbin.
Joe Philbin was one of them. And then a Miami he is the Miami coach.
They were both Miami coaches, weren't they?
Were they both the Miami coaches?
Jordan, do you remember?
Joe Philbin.
Who the two coaches were who got fired after London? It was Philbin and who was the other? We just talked about this like a week ago. And I can't remember who it was. It was. Oh, Jordan's going to say it. It's going to drive me crazy. He's going to
think. Think about this. There's only bad teams that have played in London. Philbin was definitely one of them. Who was the other guy?
There was another guy. Yeah. While Jordan looks it up, I can tell you right now there are some people around the league. So while Jordan looks that up, so I got Jeremy Fowler taking the Cardinals over the Browns, but I got everybody on the Athletic website. They're saying the Browns win. I've got Pete Prisco saying the Browns win. Does it surprise you that the Browns are getting as much love for this game as they are in these picks?
No, they just, they're a good football team. Like, they score a lot of points. They're a very dangerous offensive team. They're at home. Cardinals aren't going to win every game they play. The Cardinals are suffering injuries right now. You know, you got to change time zones and you got to go back east, which they've been successful with a couple of times this year. I mean, they seem ripe for an upset. They do. They seem ripe for an upset. Cleveland's, their losses are to what? Kansas City and the Chargers?
Yeah.
So they've lost. Now, their wins aren't great wins, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think they've had great wins, but their losses are to good teams.
And they're only by 9 points, which is kind of the story of the NFL. Everybody's losses, I mean, for the most part, not everybody, but a lot of teams' losses are very close losses. That's kind of how the NFL works. They've beaten the Houston Texans, the Chicago Bears, and the Minnesota Vikings. Those are the wins for the Cleveland Browns so far. They lost to the Chiefs by 4. They lost to the Chargers by 5. That's how it's shaped up so far for the Cleveland. It doesn't surprise me either. The Browns are a good football team. They've got some of the best players at their positions in the NFL. Myles Garrett might be the defensive player of the year this year. Nick Chubb might be the best running back in the NFL this year and the last couple of years. Baker Mayfield, though he's constantly getting crap for it, is a good quarterback who led that team to their first playoff victory in, 20 years, a year ago. They're talented players on that team. It's in Cleveland. This isn't a trap game for the Cardinals. This isn't an opponent they overlook. It's just game number 3 of a stretch of 3 games that have all been challenging in their own way, and it just might be where things get a little let up for the Cardinals when it's all said and done in this one. If they come out of this stretch 3-0, if they beat the Rams, the Niners, and the Browns, that's when you start thinking about what this team can really be capable of if they're going to be 6-0. Especially with this stretch of 3 games the way they've played.
No, I think that, and it was Dennis Allen, by the way, with the Raiders.
Dennis Allen, okay.
I don't know, the Cleveland game, and this is interesting, and I hear everything you're saying. The Cleveland game doesn't mean a damn thing to me. The Rams game meant everything. To me, it was the Rams game. I don't need the Cleveland game to tell me what the Cardinals are. The Rams game showed me that. The Rams game and even the 49ers game to a certain extent. The teams in your division that are really good, they won 2 games in the division last year. They've already got 2 wins, and they've only played 2 games. This Cleveland game, I mean, you go on the road, you lose to Cleveland, and you're 5-1. I mean, I'm not going to sweat it. I'm not going to, oh, my God, I can't believe they lost. Like, I'm not. I mean, I wasn't expecting them to go 3-0. I'm not expecting them to go 17-0. But the game that mattered the most was the Rams game. They're a contender. Like, that's it. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't need another game on this schedule to tell me that they're a contending team. They went to L.A., and they slaughtered the Rams. And they exercised those demons, and they beat the hell out of McVay, and they played extremely well. And then they came back the next week, and they had a hard-fought game, and they won against the 49ers. So those are the games that tell me what they are. What would a win again? I guess it just continues the belief that people would have that this is a contending team.
Yeah.
If they lose to the Cleveland, I mean, I don't think there's any going to be, oh, see, told you the Cardinals are no good. They suck. Jump off the bandwagon. Maybe some people do, but, I mean, it doesn't take away. You no matter what happens, you can't take away what they've done in the first 5 weeks of the season.
No, you can't.
They won good football games.
Since you mentioned the international game, I know you wanted to talk about this.
I did.
The NFL in Germany, the league has looked at proposal cities for an international game in Germany earlier this year, and apparently they're going to announce 3 finalist cities in Germany for a game to be there in 2022. What is it that caught your eye about this one?
No, just the expansion in, you know, from London to Germany and just trying to build this game, you know, on that level, right? I mean, you know, you just don't really feel like the NFL has made any headways outside of here in America. And, you know, and you had, you know, they had the World League, and so they had teams in London and in Germany and these different places, and it didn't really work. And they're still trying to get that going. They're still trying to find a way to you know, carve out a niche, because there's so much revenue to be made if this sport takes off. Like, not that they've tapped out, right? It's an unbelievable revenue generator. They keep getting more and more money from TV, but eventually that's got to slow down, and that's why they continue to look at these other avenues. Like, basketball is a worldwide sport, okay? Like, when I go visit my family in Italy, they know who the basketball teams are. They don't know who the football teams are. They don't know. I go to Just Sports and I get my cousin a Cardinals shirt and a Suns shirt and, you know, a Diamondback shirt. They don't know the football teams.
Yeah.
They're not that familiar with the football teams in these other countries. In fact, I get him a Suns shirt. He knows exactly who the Suns are. Believe it or not, he even knows who the Diamondbacks are a little bit. But the football teams, they're just not very familiar with them.
It just doesn't resonate. Interesting.
It doesn't resonate. So I'm fascinated they continue to try to build overseas in Europe.
Many have pointed at him as the Cardinals' most impactful offseason addition. How big of a loss will it be for Kyler and the Cards not to have Rodney Hudson available versus the Browns? Because he's not going to be. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.